Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody and welcome. It's the podcast you look forward to every Tuesday. I know that I do. It's Is It Just Me? With me, Joe Elvin.
And me, James Williams.
And you know, what do we talk about on this, James? For the uninitiated, we kind of talk about all sorts of rubbish, to be quite honest with you.
Pretty much.
But it's very serious rubbish. It's a serious, serious business. That's why we always draft in a hugely exciting guest. And this week we have one of our all-time favourites. It's blogger, she's an author. She's a chef. She's just all round amazing. And now she's an actor. It's Tanya Burr.
Hello,
hi.
Tanya.
Hi. I love that intro.
I know.
Well, did you? But you? Oh, good. Because yeah. I just kind of like did it on
I was
the
like,
fly.
I'm definitely not a chef.
No, oh, you are? You're very handy in the kitchen.
I've made your lemon tart.
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
I mean, but do you love the fact, actually, Tanya, there's no one string to your bow? You pretty much show you can go out and do it all, right? Do you think that's a great thing to be in this day and age?
I think what's quite nice about where I started making YouTube videos is that you just explore all of your passions and share them with people. So if you like reading books, you can, you know, share what books you've been reading. If you are good at cooking, you can show people how you make your grandma's lemon recipe, you know, things like that. I think it's nice to be able to share all different aspects of your life.
But also, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast on previous episodes, and you know, I think it's quite an old-fashioned thing now just to be one thing or just to have one career. I mean, I think now it's quite common for people to work in one industry for 20 years and then just have a total change in direction. And I just think it's actually really exciting, I think, to be a working person now, because...
So is it not too late for me to be a millionaire banker?
Absolutely not, Jo.
Amazing. This is great news.
Today is the new first day.
If only I can count.
But yeah, I just think it makes it really exciting. And also I think it makes people like you... And I think that's why people really look up to you, is because you're just going out there and doing it.
I guess so. Yeah, it's nice to think of it that way. I think that I've always just been about kind of following my dreams, and I mean, I've known you guys for a while now, so you know how long I've been like working at everything that I've been doing, and it takes time, and you just have to stick with it.
Thing is, though, not everybody pursues their dreams and gets their dreams, you know. And like, I remember you 3 years ago when we first met, you talking about wanting to be an actor, and now you're doing it. You've got your first play you're rehearsing at the moment.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
What do you think it is about you that turns that aspiration into something that actually happens?
I honestly don't know. Part of me feels
come on, we
really need to bottle
okay.
it.
Yeah.
Let me try and think about it. My dad has definitely always taught me from a very young age to go after what you want. And
I've met your dad, and he's a really big character, isn't he?
He is.
He's the opposite of shy.
But he also can be slightly shy, I find sometimes. Like, he can talk to anyone, but at the same time, he can be quite kind of hard to crack to begin with. You must have just got on really well with him.
I don't know. Well, we'd all been drinking.
So that always helps.
Yeah, that probably did help. ever since I was little, he's always, I mean, my dad was a lorry driver when I was younger, and he would work, pick up extra hours and do kind of work every hour under the sun so that I could go to, I went to a school after my normal school where I could do drama and disco dancing and tap dancing and honestly every other kind of dancing that I can't believe there were all types of dancing that I was really bad at, all of them. So I could go and do all of that because he knew that I wanted to perform so much in lots of different ways. And he really shouldn't have been able to afford to do that, but he did it because he, you know, wanted to, and believed that he could work hard enough to do that. And he's always taught me to just kind of go after what I want, and he's, and to work hard as well. He's definitely put that kind of like grafter in me.
Dream big, work hard.
Yeah, dream big and work hard.
Well,
my
dad's very Australian saying was head down, bum up. I used to hear that a lot when I was a child.
Which is kind of the same thing.
Head down, bum up, Joanne.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, and I just think there's definitely times when you should kind of sit back and relax and enjoy life a little bit, and it can make that hard when you're so used to kind of being on it and making things happen.
I mean, yeah, because it is quite hard, I guess, because, you know, you are, I guess, because you have such a sort of rabid sort of following on Instagram and online. Is it hard to actually take total time out now sometimes?
It depends on what's going on. If I've suddenly, like when I just got cast in the play, that was at the end of last year, so it actually made me really relax and enjoy my time off over Christmas, because I thought I can kind of relax a little bit now because I've got the play and I know it's coming up and I know I'm going to be working so hard on that, and also it's going to be so rewarding because it's something I've always wanted to do. Like, I've been on stage when I was younger and stuff, but only for amateur stuff, and this is my professional coffee.
Yeah.
This is a life-saving coffee coming in. Thank you, Sarah.
So tell us about the play then, obviously, tell me. We want to hear all about it. So what can we expect?
Okay, so you can expect, it's quite a naughty play.
Ooh.
It's called Confidence.
Called Confidence.
Right?
Yep. It's a play written by Judy Upton. And it's only been on once at a theatre in Birmingham in 1998. So this is its 20-year anniversary. And it is a very kind of gritty 90s play. And what you kind of expect from a 90s play, and that all of the characters, they really just want to make something of themselves. And that was kind of very typical of the 90s and kind of like girls doing it for themselves, like Spice Girls.
But that sounds like your story as well.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's interesting because the director said that to me and I was like, no. But now as I'm reading and working on the play more and more and more, I'm like, oh, I can definitely see. I play a character called Ella, who the play is kind of all about. And I definitely relate to her in little bits and pieces. We're so different in the way we kind of hold ourselves and our personalities. But then there's like little parts of her that I can relate to. She basically has a life. She doesn't have supportive parents in any way, shape or form, or have a good relationship with them. She has no money. She lives in a seaside town. It's set in Brighton, actually. But Brighton in the 90s, not Brighton now. Brighton now is somewhere where you go for a luxury, lovely seaside
and an artisan loaf.
Very hipster, super lovely. Brighton in the 90s was
where you went to get a dream catcher.
It was a completely different place, and not a very good place to be if you have no money as well. And so she is living quite a tough life. And she just, everyone else in the play has kind of accepted their lives, particularly this character Ruby, who works in a cafe. My character Ella, she goes and says, so she's like, what are you doing here, Ruby? And Ruby says, well, I would never even bother to do anything like enter the lottery. She's like, what would I do with £1 million? And they're very much all accepted their lives and aren't interested in another life, whereas Ella, she is desperate to leave, get out of there. She's set her sights on Hollywood, not to go be an actor or be famous herself. She just wants to go and rub shoulders with famous people and live that life, and basically go to the complete polar opposite of the life that she's living right now. She's willing to do anything to get there, and she basically manipulates everybody else in the play, and she sleeps with all three of the men in the play.
Hence the naughty bits.
Hence the naughty bit. And
so are you having some of your first sex scenes then as an actor?
Yes.
Oh, oh my God. Live on stage?
Yeah, I just can't handle the idea.
Rehearsals start on Monday, so we'll see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've met my castmates and we've only ever met once so far for a shoot.
But I guess
for a shag,
but
we don't really
met once for a shag.
It's not method acting. Yeah. It's not method acting in that sense.
But
I guess that's the nature of acting, isn't it? It's quite weird. You meet somebody, and then the next thing you know, you've got to start kissing them.
Yeah,
that's the world you're now in, Tanya.
Yeah. I mean, you never know when you're reading a script. You don't know what's going to end up actually happening. But in the script, it says that. You know that other stuff has happened and there are kind of some there's two pretty full-on sexual scenes.
Ooh-hoo.
But then there's also two kisses and I'm like, am I gonna have to full-on kiss them on stage? Probably.
And are you already having that slight anxiety about like your husband, your mum and dad coming to see it?
More my grandparents. I feel like my husband gets
just
it,
don't
my
tell them.
Gets it. My grandparents, I thought they would get their tickets for the play once I was in rehearsals and I kind of know what was going on because you can read the script and it could go one of two ways. They could make it quite tame and not show all of this stuff going on, or they could really go for it and be like, we're just doing this. And all the plays that I've seen recently, there's been like full nudity on the stage and stuff, and so I feel like it does happen. But then my grandparents texted me the other day just saying, we've bought our tickets and we're...
Oh, bless.
And they said they were going to the train station because they don't do anything online. So we're going to the train station to get their train tickets.
Oh,
going
wow.
From Norwich to London.
So they're really coming.
Like 2 months in advance. Imagine like going to the station to I'm just going to get my tickets.
But that's
they're
so
have
sweet.
Their minds blown.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Tanya, you and I met. I first became aware of you through my daughter who was... very young at the time, and we met at, I don't know, something, and my daughter was so excited. So, but this is really sort of like moving away from that audience, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. And
I guess so, but at the same time, I'm really excited to take them with me.
Yeah.
Because...
Oh, no, well, she's not coming to me.
Well, how old is she now?
She's 12.
No, she's
bit young.
It's
PG.
It's 14 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the age is like an age guidance. It's 14 plus.
Yeah.
So...
But your audience has grown with you in that sense.
Yeah, my audience has definitely grown with me. I don't have many young followers anymore.
No.
But does the blogging still hold the same allure for you?
100%, it really does. It's so interesting because there's so many people, and I won't name names, who are like in my position, we've been doing it for years, and they're just a little bit over it now and are looking to the next thing and are ready to move on. But... I still get so excited every time I upload a video to my YouTube channel. I don't update my blog as much as I should, but I never really have. It's never been... I've always had my blog, but I've never been very good at updating it. It's always been more like the Instagram and the Twitter and connecting with people, which I think is easier to do on like Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And I don't upload as much as I used to because auditioning takes up so much time, and I'll be planning... I'll say, right, I'm going to... you know, film video today, and then suddenly get a call from my agent saying we need this audition in 24 hours and you have to solidly like stay up all night like learning the lines, working on it. So that's why I don't upload as much as I used to, but I definitely see myself carrying on uploading.
It's adding strings to your bow rather than totally changing your headset.
I suspect you're going to get too busy.
Yeah.
I mean, you've also got the Sky One show coming out, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's called Bulletproof. And that's starring Noel Clarke and Ashley Walters. And I only have a small part in one episode of that, but there is scope for Rebecca to come back in season 2.
Not that she's laying any hints or groundwork there, Simon.
I only shot 2 days of for that show, but it was a great experience to do something with such amazing budget.
Yeah.
After all the other acting work I've done, like I did a short film and I did a show in the US, which was super low budget, and obviously theatre is a completely different story, but being on doing the on-screen stuff the difference between being on a set that has the budget of a show like Bulletproof is just amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, working in print media, the word budget is actually banned. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to discuss it.
Yeah, they're such buzzkill budgets, yeah, aren't they? They really do get in the way. So the play opens when, Tanya? When can we look to you?
It opens on May the 25th. And
how long is the run?
4 weeks.
Four weeks.
It's 29 shows. So
amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, so far, so good. Well, I guess you haven't started rehearsals yet.
We'll start on Monday.
Great.
And but I'll let you know.
Well, if I know you, you'll be Insta-storing.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
And what theatre is it on at?
Southwark Playhouse.
Southwark Playhouse. Okay, yes. So everyone should go and get their tickets right now.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Although that's also really
I can't
sorry.
Wait to see you being rude on stage.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Wait.
I think you'll love it. I really think you'll love
why,
it.
And I'm
well, I want to get tickets the same night as her grandparents. I want to see them
oh my God.
React.
I want you to sit next to them and they're like, put your hands over their
isn't that where we saw Billy's play?
That's an extra incentive to go the same night as your grandparents. Not that we're being evil.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for a bit of Is It Just Me, Tanya Bo?
I'm ready. I'm really excited.
With me, James Williams. Oh, I don't know. Well, I don't know. This comes from a place of not being that excited at the moment. Is it just me, Tanya Bo, James Williams, who's pretty much lost my Twitter mojo? And anybody who follows me on Twitter would readily agree. I'm just not there anymore.
Yeah, guilty as charged, I think, for me too.
What do you think, oh, social media queen?
I know, help us.
I have something really interesting to say on this
one. Oh, okay.
So, I had completely lost my Twitter mojo, as I think most people had. Two things, really. One, I deleted the Twitter app off my phone, which I found helped so much because it stopped that... Part of me hated Twitter because it was one that I would just scroll on and just read a load of rubbish and more Trump news after more Trump news. And yes, I like to keep up with the Trump news, but I don't...
A huge part of it.
I don't need it in every kind of... Every single time I look at my phone.
Well, I don't follow him, but I feel like I do.
I don't follow him, but I just see people that I follow
That's
talking
the thing.
About it.
You don't need to follow him. Yeah, yeah. Everyone else is talking about him.
And I definitely like to keep up with the news, but I can do that once a day, keep up with Trump news. I don't need to see it. Constantly. And it just feel like it's taking over my life. And there's also lots of other annoying things people just talk about constantly on Twitter. So I just found the scrolling was making me miserable and also making me slightly addicted to my phone and having my phone in my hand too much, to the point where I've actually got a funny little like thing on my finger where
it's kind of bendy.
It's from resting the bit where the charger goes in, it's that.
Oh my gosh.
And I've
like
got
a little nodule.
I've got RSI here in sort of like the top of my forearm from just constantly raising my arm and using my thumb.
So do you then use Twitter on desktop?
On my laptop, which I love. I can't even explain it, but it sounds like I have bad eyesight. I definitely don't. I've had laser eye surgery, so I can't have bad eyesight. But that whole kind of holding a phone in your hand and like looking at your phone and squinting a little bit and it all being small. It's so nice to suddenly have Twitter to be like big and open on your laptop or your computer. And you just feel much more, I can't think of the right word, empowered when you're tweeting. Well, you're like, duh, duh, duh.
Do you think it's because you're engaging your thoughts more? Because you're sat there, you're really thinking about what you're saying.
run out of things to say. And people who listen to this podcast might be really surprised by that, but I literally phone, laptop, whatever, I go to type something, and as I'm typing, think, Elvin, no one cares.
I think that's what I have with it. I have more self-doubt about Twitter than any of the other social media sort of things. So I don't know why that Twitter gremlin gets in my head and goes, yeah, why are you saying that? No one's going to care, or you just sound really stupid. And also, I think the other thing I find with it as well, for the reasons you sort of said, Tanya, is it's so full of people out there shouting, screaming, trying to basically get their voices heard, that you also then just go, I just can't engage with this.
But that's the other thing, is I've got to the point now where I over-censor myself so much. Not that I feel like I'm going to say anything particularly contentious.
I don't know.
Joe.
But, yeah, I don't know. You know, you make one misstep or somebody misreads something and then you've just got hours of people yelling at you. And
true.
I'm a bit done.
I think worrying about whether it's relevant or whether people will care, I think that's a dangerous road to go down, because it could make you really self-conscious. And also, that's the whole reason why social media started, is because people do care and people are nosy about other people's lives. And the things that I like to read on Twitter are just when people say, oh, I was just walking down the street today and spilt my coffee all over me. So just little life updates that just give you an insight into someone's life.
But maybe if Madonna said that, I think that's quite interesting. If I say it,
I would be interested. I have
actually lost a lot of followers lately, and I think it's because I just haven't been tweeting.
See,
so don't unfollow me, and I promise I will do
something. The one thing I'll say about Twitter, though, I did find a bit of a personal resurgence with Twitter, was when I forgot how fun it is to watch TV shows on Twitter. Because, you know, sometimes there are some Twitch shows that really are, that experience is heightened. Yes, Love Island. I watch, my friend is on this show called 7 Year Switch on Channel 4, and just following all the comments people were making about that.
Yeah.
So that can be really fun. If you think back, when X Factor was massive, and it was a massive thing on Twitter, it used to almost make X Factor more fun, reading people's tweets and comments, because everyone was basically being Simon Cowell on their phone. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But that's what it's good for. But I guess I do feel a bit like Twitter gets bashed a lot now, because everyone always says Instagram's the happy place and Twitter's the angry, shouty place. I mean, how do you feel about that, Tanya?
I'm finding more addicted to Instagram lately.
Yeah, I definitely love Instagram. But the second thing that I think about Twitter that has made me fall back in love with it a little bit is GIFs. When they introduced that GIF button.
True.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
Like, it just makes any tweet. It makes me really enjoy tweeting. I think, oh, I love that tweet.
Yeah. I love lots of other people's tweets. Yeah. I don't know what's happened. I think also I used to hate people who say this, but I have just been really busy and I haven't found that I've had the brain space to think of something that I think is particularly
But fabulous. I think that's the point. I think you've made that point well, Tanya. It's like we're clearly overthinking it. Sometimes just you say whatever you want to say, and I think that's the problem. I feel like everything I say on Twitter has to be really profound or really funny, and sometimes maybe you just need to say what's on your mind or something really mundane.
Yeah, no, I never think it through.
I need to get back on the horse.
Yeah.
And embrace the gifts. Yeah. Clearly that's where we're going wrong.
I'm going to give you a week where I might
saddle up that big blue bird. That would just, honestly, I don't think I'd be able to get out of bed, Tanya. You don't understand the day that my daughter realised that Tanya followed me on Twitter. I became a whole person in Evie's eyes. Don't take that away from me.
She's so sweet.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah.
She doesn't listen to this show.
No, she doesn't. She says, I don't want to hear your voice anymore than I have to. I know. It's outrageous.
She might listen to this one, though.
She might.
Oh, she might,
Especially now we've given her a shout out.
Exactly. Okay, so we need to get back on board with our Twitter selves, Joe.
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's it. I think the desktop thing's really interesting.
Do follow me on Instagram, though.
Yeah. We're amazing on Instagram.
Yeah, all of us. Is it just me who likes to scare myself?
Yes. Next.
That's so not true. Killing it.
Well, I think there's two ways to go on this one, isn't there? Do you mean like actually like in terms of your career and chucking yourself into a situation which is scary? also, I think, and I know you're going to agree on this one, you just love feeling scared. You love roller coasters and terrifying rides.
Oh, that's yeah, I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about stepping out of your comfort zone.
Well, I think there's both.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I think I'm more inclined to do the comfort zones one. I really have got more of a scaredy cat about big... When I was younger, I didn't care about going on rides. And now, I get really, like, quite terrified. But yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I think... You know, you should always say yes to something that slightly scares you, because I think it's going to test you and it's going to make you a stronger, bigger, better person.
And also you feel so happy afterwards that you've done it.
Mm.
And it's so exciting. But yeah, at the same time, I hate scaring myself in terms of, I could never watch a scary film.
Ah.
And if I watch a scary film, I then can't. Like after watching Get Out, did you watch Get Out?
Yes, I did.
I wasn't scared by Get Out. I was entertained by it.
Did you love it?
I didn't actually. No.
I absolutely loved Get Out. And Daniel Kaluuya is just like my
yeah,
favorite.
Yeah, he's amazing. In the entire world. And I thought it was a really interesting idea for the story. But no, I was disappointed at how not scared I was.
You wanted to be more scared.
Yeah. I was happy that it wasn't... I avoided it for ages because I thought it was going to be too scary. And then someone said to me, no, you've got to watch it. It's really, really good. And it's also not that scary.
No.
However, that one woman... who just appears everywhere. I then would get in the shower and still, even this morning in the shower, and it must be about 6 weeks since I watched it. I tweeted about it when I watched it with a GIF. And I was in the shower this morning and I had to wash my face in like record speed time because I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to open my eyes and she's going to be
wow.
There. Do you know the woman I mean?
Yes, I do. I think, yeah. But that's so funny you say that, because I think I have this thing. I'm terrified of windows with no blinds at night, because in my head, somebody's just going to pop up out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
And
yeah.
I've a weird thing. If I think about it when I'm in the shower, like I have to always face out. Like if I turn my back to the glass partition, I just think it's always going to be like some sort of psycho moment where somebody's just going to appear.
Oh,
whereas if I'm staring out at it, I can see incoming danger.
I watched Psycho far too young. I'm talking like I was younger than Evie when I watched Psycho.
Oh.
Because it was just a VHS tape that was just on my parents' shelf and they were out and me and my friend were like, let's watch it.
I watched it really young as well and I just thought it was crap.
Oh, really? You're just hard as nails, Jo.
I literally am that person in the cinema, arms folded.
Oh.
And I have to admit, I saw when I was in America last week, I watched A Quiet Place.
Really? That's meant to be amazing.
It's supposed to be amazing.
That is terrifying.
Oh.
I mean, I was absolutely...
Maybe not one for you then, Tanya, because if she says it's terrifying, that means it must be.
There's one part where I basically ripped my husband's arm off. Like, just sort of like...
Really?
It's so well done. It's actually, well, probably not so terrifying, but just seriously stressful. So stressful from beginning to end. And
but
I
is it so good that you think even someone who doesn't like horror should watch it? Because there's Oscar buzz about that film.
Oh,
already.
I think it's amazing. But I think that if you don't like to be scared, I wouldn't recommend this film.
Or just make sure you don't watch it alone. Because that's my feeling. I'm a bit of a scaredy cat, but I can watch things. Like I would go and watch that in the cinema, but I could never watch it at home by myself.
But I think we're sort of like the other strand here is obviously
yes.
You've been somebody who's always jumped, Tanya, out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's paid off for you.
Mm.
It definitely has.
Have there been times when it hasn't?
Ooh, good question.
Just because I think, I'm just interested in, I really admire the people who, not to say that I don't admire you if this hasn't happened to you, but like the people that I get really inspired by, the people who tried something and maybe it didn't work out or it didn't work out the same way and they get up again and do something else again. And I'm always really inspired by that, even though I'm not always confident enough to do something that really takes me off the dial.
So I agree with you. I think that failure is really admirable. Especially those people who do it so publicly and then get up and learn from it. And I also think that if you never fail and it never pays off, it never doesn't pay off when you take a leap and it doesn't work out, then you're never going to learn anything. You might suddenly be really successful, but what happens when the one day that it does go wrong, you don't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
You appreciate the highs much more when you've had the lows, don't you?
So I luckily don't think I've had any public ones of those, unless these tapes ever get released. Hopefully they don't. But I had an audition in LA actually last week that went terribly wrong. And part of me thinks I took a risk with it and part of me thinks, no, I should have done it. It's my job to do it. But I got sent an audition the night before I had to go in the room and do it. And the trouble is with being in the UK is that you don't get to have in the room auditions very often. You're always doing what they call a self-tape, which is where you're, you know, you just have a camera on a tripod and someone stands the other side of it and reads the other person's lines, then you just stand there and look slightly off camera and read the lines.
Yeah.
And that's how you audition, you send it to America. But I had an actual in-the-room audition. I've not had one since end of last year. So I was felt quite inexperienced in doing that. And I didn't have enough time with the lines. There was this huge monologue in it. And I just went threw myself into it because I thought, I felt like I didn't have a choice because I'd also just got new acting representation and I didn't want them to think that I was not willing to work hard.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I just
yeah.
thought, well, it's the first audition they've bought me. I kind of just need to do it. So I just went and did it. And me having the confidence that I do in everything that I do, I just kind of thought it would be fine. And it just wasn't. It so wasn't fine. Like I was in the room and I was just kind of like sweating, and the casting director was so nice. And he just said, he was like, just take your time. And I didn't take my time, which is a mistake as well. And I met an actor friend for lunch afterwards and he was like, you've got to own the room and you've got to take your time. They'll let you take your time. And he'd even said to me, take your time. And I didn't. I just rushed straight into it. And then I just was like mid-sentence and just could not think of what came next.
Do you know what, though? I honestly think you need those experiences for when you're getting an award for acting in 5 years' time. Do you know what I mean? You need that experience. I remember once falling over on my way to one of my first job interviews in London, and like I fell over so badly, which I do quite a lot, don't I? I sprained my ankle. I was like, you know, I'd been crying. It hurt so much. And I sort of like stumbled to this interview and remember thinking to myself, well, you know, this will be the story you can tell when you get this job. And I didn't get the job at all. They hated me. It was like one of the worst days of my life. But obviously things got better.
Exactly.
But you do need, otherwise the first time something does go wrong, you fall to pieces because if it hasn't gone wrong, you don't know how to handle it.
And also I think what's really telling, Tanya, is that with the way you're already talking about what happened to you relatively recently, last week, you're already taking it in
Wednesday,
a...
I think, yeah.
But you've already turned into like, actually, I've learnt that next time that ever happens, I will take my time, or maybe
yeah.
I won't jump into doing it so quickly, or I'll ask for a bit of extra time, or...
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's all you can do with those situations is basically go, okay, yeah, I may have slightly fucked up, but hey, how can I now turn this into a positive or at least some sort of learning curve? And I think that's the best way to do it. But I think, you know, just to sort of sum this one up, yeah, you've got to scare yourself. You'd live such a boring life if you just stayed in your lane and didn't do anything that tested you or scared you.
Yeah. But just to be clear, we're not telling people to go watch horror films if they're scared.
Yeah.
No one can sleep.
If you're a wuss like me and Tanya, avoid A Quiet Place.
I'm going to go to Hollywood next week and start auditions. I'm just give that a go.
Is that after you become a millionaire banker?
Yeah. You've got to try it all.
Yeah.
You do that on the weekends, right? Yeah.
Regular listeners, you do know we love hearing from you here at Is It Just Me? And we've got a lovely little reader shout out for Adeobi, who's actually emailed us all the way from Nigeria. She says, hello, Joe and James.
We are so international.
Aren't we just?
You thought you were, Tanya.
Yeah, just zooming in from LA. Look,
yeah.
Fans in Nigeria. Yeah. First and foremost, I want to say how much I love you both and the podcast. Oh, thank you.
We love you.
My name is Adeobi, and although I'm currently not in the UK, I'm listening from Nigeria and consider myself to be your biggest Nigerian fan. And I look forward to the podcast every single week. I just love it. Although I don't have my own Is It Just Me, I'm with James on people who have too many friends. They're all dangerous and shouldn't be trusted.
Yeah.
I said something a few weeks ago about, you know, somebody befriends you on Facebook and you look them up, they've got like 2,500 friends. You're like, no, there's no point being your friend. You're never going to see anything I do.
Me having too many friends is not something we ever have to worry about.
Well, yes, yeah,
yeah.
Especially if they listen to this podcast.
Tanya, though, she's got millions of friends.
Yes, literally.
Millions.
But then, yeah, Facebook's different to, like, you know, followers,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah,
I
don't have Facebook, so I don't have
don't
people
you?
Adding me who have like 2,500 followers.
It's a good thing to do. But anyway, thank you, Adio, for getting in touch. And like I said, if you are listening, do get in touch. We love hearing from you, and we do read all the emails. The email address is isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com. And also, while we have you, please go to iTunes and review us, because it really helps the show to perform overall.
And then the more people who listen and help us make money, then maybe we can make some merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
And give you all presents.
Who would exactly?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want Is It Just Me merchandise?
Prizes. Yeah, prizes, presents.
So go on, go
personal
to iTunes
visits.
Right now, leave us a review. Thank you very much.
And we'll see you in Nigeria for the world tour.
Okay, Joe and Tanya, here is the last one for this week. Bit of a strange one, but hey, it is mine, so it's always going to be a bit weird. Is it just me who doesn't like baths? Now, I say this as somebody who recently had quite a heated conversation with a friend of mine who is a big bath fan. And I'm not talking about Bath City, by the way. I'm talking about the actual physical act of running taps.
I love how angry you get about bathroom things.
I know.
We had a similar conversation about coloured toilet paper recently.
Oh, don't get me started.
Inspired by
I don't think I hate baths as much as I hate coloured loo roll. But anyway,
we used to have peach loo roll.
Oh, my God. So. That makes me come out in, like,
get
hives.
Out of this. Get out.
Actually, no, it was me. I think it was my grandparents.
Oh. Not the ones coming to the play?
Yeah, those ones.
Oh, I've got so much to talk to them about when we turn up to the play.
So they had, their bathroom was that green colour that was in fashion.
Avocado.
Like the 80s, 90s, yeah, avocado.
An avocado sweet with peach toilet paper.
With peach
toilet paper. Oh, that's quite a bold clash.
I think I've just been a bit sick in my mouth, I'm sorry, I can't deny. Yeah. Anyway, my bath thing comes, I guess for me, I just don't feel they're not worth the investment. And I know some people love them. They light candles. They do selfies. I'm like, it takes a long time to fill. You get in it. It gets cold really quickly. And I'm not a soap dodger. I do wash. But I'm just not a bath fan. Am I doing it wrong? What's happening?
But again, our bath, we used to get sort of like massive play because my daughter was following Tanya's bath time rituals.
So you're a big bath fan then?
Yeah.
Okay, so, is this where you and I fall out, Tanya?
Yeah. There's hours of my life I can't get back from going to Lush. And like,
so
oh
funny.
My God.
I love baths so much. I can stay in them for ages. I like to put a film on.
Oh.
Make it really bubbly. Put in some magnesium flakes as well.
Oh,
helps relax your muscles.
Okay.
It's very good.
Well, I'm already doing it all wrong. I've not done any of that.
Then I put in some oil as well. So I like to have bubbles, salts, oils, or magnesium flakes if you don't have salts, that kind of thing.
But how regularly would you have one?
Every other day.
Really?
So I don't wash my hair, I have a bath.
That's the thing. Do you have a... I do like the relaxation of a bath, but I don't feel clean when I've had a bath.
I feel so clean. Oh. I feel my most clean. I feel bubbly.
I just feel like I've been sitting in my own filth.
In my head, it's one of those things I always think I'd like to do it, but I'm never going to get around to it.
I don't have the patience.
That's me.
I tell you when it does work is when I'm feeling really coldy and fluey and really achy. That's the one thing that helps is to get into a scalding hot bath. But then after 5 minutes, and as you say, it's taken like 10 minutes to get it the way you want it to. And then I'm sort of lying there and I think, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You're making the mistake. You need to have a podcast on or have your laptop. See, I positioned a little cabinet at the end of my bath so I didn't have to balance my laptop on the toilet seat anymore. Now it's kind of slightly raised.
I was going to say.
Perfect. So I always will have audiobook, podcast, or a film on my laptop.
This is precision planning.
I know.
And I could never sit in the bath and just sit there with my thoughts.
That yeah,
this is like so a bath as a business. I mean, why am I not surprised? Turn your business up.
Because the weird thing for me is, I do find water very therapeutic. Like, you know, I'll tell you a story. This is actually true. I love a long shower to the point whereby my showers are so long, my dad had to build a second bathroom when I was a teenager because the fights were so bad in the morning.
Oh,
all of us
God.
Trying to get ready because I would be in there. He'd be screaming, bashing down the door. And in the end, my neighbour next door said the best thing that ever happened to her was my dad building the second bathroom because it meant she got a nice restful lying without hearing my dad screaming at me every day.
So when the water wars / apocalypse happens, it's all James's fault.
Well, I know, that's the thing. Yeah, I do like a long shower. But my thing is, I do think if you're feeling a bit achy or fluey or... Because I would say this, even when you wake up sick, I always try to shower because I think there's something about washing yourself will make you feel slightly better.
Oh, I love it. It just feels amazing. When I got off my flight on Saturday,
yes.
You know, I just think there's nothing better.
Have you flown to Australia and back?
Yes.
I mean, that's like the shower, burning whatever you were wearing. I mean, sort of like sandblasting your own skin.
Did you know on my flight home from Australia, when I was like 21, I just got back from travelling, there was no entertainment on the flight.
Oh, what?
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Why did you even go?
I flew with Thai Airways.
That is a long time.
And everybody else, this was before Jim and I knew about like taking pills and everything. Like, you know what I mean? Sleeping pills, yeah, and that kind of thing. And everyone else clearly had like taken something or were just able to sleep, God knows how. And me and Jim were just looking around us and the whole flight was asleep. And we were just sat there just staring at each other, like giggling, like with like manically.
That's
where's the
minibar? Exactly, yeah. No, well, actually, talking of which, I was going to say, I do agree that, you know, on a hangover, the best thing you can do is chuck yourself under some water.
Yeah. Not a bath, though. I made such a mistake. I was in Paris for the one before last, Paris Fashion Week, and I had the worst hangover of my entire life, and I thought, I'll run a bath. I was in this, like, gorgeous hotel room and ran this bath, ran it a little bit too hot, called Jim from the bath and was just like on the phone to him just moaning about how hungover I was. and I was just in the bath and suddenly started sweating in the bath, which is a really weird feeling. It was just awful. And then I was just really ill for the whole rest of the day and had to travel home.
Well, yeah, and I've also heard the worse than that, I think, is having a bath drunk. So at least you
were... No, that's really dangerous.
A friend of mine did that where we were... She had this, like, really awful, like, we left
you
us...
You can drown in 2 inches of water.
Yeah. Well, no, she just got in a bath a little bit drunk and then suddenly it just... The whole dinner she'd eaten... I think that it's the heat. So she just felt really uncomfortable and awkward.
And then makes me feel really,
she threw up all of her dinner. Yeah. She felt terrible. Yeah, no. Baths.
Please don't ever have a bath where you're drunk. You'll drown.
Yeah, no drunken baths, but or hungover.
Or hungover.
I'm a catastrophe here. Right? But,
yes, but a hangover shower, I do agree.
Yeah,
or,
that's very important.
Even better, waking up hungover, somewhere really exotic on your holiday and just throwing yourself into the plunge pool.
Well,
that's the best way.
That's a hotel where someone else is going to... Do you clean your own bath? That's the other thing. It's like when I get out of a bath and then look back at what's been left, I just think, oh, and then it's always up to me to clean it before I get
like
in it again.
You sound like a really dirty person. Like, when I look in the bathroom,
yeah, well,
like a few
when
bubbles.
Was the last time you got the tube every day, sister? It's like, you won't believe how grungy you could be after that. Yeah.
So I don't know. Well, I do feel now that maybe I need to give bathing a go, as in the way Tanya does a bath. Because maybe I've just been doing
but
it all
wrong. You need to entertain yourself in the bath.
Yeah, which sounds a bit wrong.
I think he's got that covered. A man on his own. In a
I mean, this is all taking a very weird turn. I won't be embracing that kind of
Have
bath.
Have you got any blogs in Tanya Burr? How to entertain yourself in the bath by Tanya Burr.
That's a good new one.
Oh. We'll give it a go anyway. Well, on that note...
I'm suddenly very interested in having a bath tonight.
I know, bring it on. Oh, well, as every time...
That's a bit of a nice note to end on.
You never know where it's going to go on this show, Tanya. That's why we love it. And also, we love having you on. Thank you so much for coming along. Good luck with the play. Tell everyone again where they can see you.
Thank you. Southwark Playhouse opens on May 25th. Tickets are available now.
It's called Confidence and we will be there front and centre. Sitting next to your grandparents.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Filming them.
I'll have the smelling salts ready for them.
Good luck, Tanya. It's been great having you.
So
thank
much.
You.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.